Good morning. Please have a seat. It is good to be together this morning in this time and in this place as we gather in each other's company. And we know that we are also in the presence of God in this time. And it is good that God is here and we are here and we're here together. For those of you who might be visiting with us this morning, a very warm welcome to you. My name is Reverend Michael Mugford, and I am in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, and pleased to have you here with us. Do let us know you've been here. We've got a guest book just outside the doors of the sanctuary. Sign that and let us know you've been here. Join us for a time of fellowship following the service. If you go out the doors here and hang a left, keep going, and you'll find coffee and tea and conversation and a little bit of goodies to share with one another. If during the offering time you would like to leave an offering, if you're a guest, we don't ask our guests to do that. But if you would like to do that, there are guest envelopes in the pews. We ask you to fill those out, invite you to fill those out, because we'd love to say thanks for worshiping with us. If you give us your name and address, and we'll send a little thank you letter for having joined with us this morning. And if you think that Cole Harbor Woodside United Church might be the place where you would like to live out your spiritual journey at this particular point in time, please do let us know, because I'd love to have conversation with you about all the wonderful ministries that we are about here this morning and each and through the week. So as we gather, we have been, over the last couple of years, sharing in the words of the acknowledgement of place. On our map, we see general outlines of the territories of the various indigenous peoples and in this area, in these lands. And so it is in that spirit that we acknowledge the place in which we gather this morning. I invite you to share it with me. It's in your bulletins and on the screen. Please respond with the bold. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, the Maliseet, and the Passamaquoddy. And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Cole Harbor Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation. As a community of faith, we gather and we light the candle of Christ to remind us of Christ's place in this, in our lives and in this worship this morning, that as we gather, it is Christ's light that we bear. We light a candle of peace, thinking of those places in our world where there is no peace, whether that be in nations or in neighborhoods, whether that be someplace in our world or someplace in our individual lives. We honor and ask God for peace in our lives. And we light a candle in honor of those who serve in our armed forces. They go to places to serve the cause of peace on behalf of all of us. They go to places where we cannot or would not go. And they serve. There are also many who serve within our communities. There are first responders, firefighters, EMTs, peace officers, those who staff our hospitals, emergency rooms 24 hours a day, who work in our hospitals, who care for us when we are at our weakest and our most vulnerable times, our nursing homes, from everyone who ensures that the facilities are clean to those who perform delicate and difficult operations. All of those people look after us, and we pray for them and honor them and their ministries in our world. As we gather, I invite us to sing together, "We Praise You, O God," 219 in Voices United.
Thank you.
Emily is going to share our call to worship this morning.
God be with you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and
praise to God. Let us pray. Today, Creator of the universe, we seek to have our hearts and eyes open, so we can enjoy all of creation. Help us to see your divine light in everything we perceive with our eyes, with our ears, with our heart, with all our senses. May we see you in every cell of our body, in every emotion of our mind, in every dream, in every flower, in every person we meet. Let everything we do and say be an expression of your beauty in our hearts, always based in love. We will work to love the way you love, to share the way you share, to create the way you create, with justice and love. Beginning again today, we commit to increasing the power of our love so that we may contribute to the life of all. Today, Creator, we share with all our gratitude and love because you have given us life. May it be so. And our opening hymn, wonderful favorite, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you.
And Margie's going to read our scripture passage for this morning.
The scripture is from Genesis 4b to 25, selected verses. Here is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. On the day when Adonai, God, made earth and heaven, there was as yet no wild bush on the earth, and no wild plant had as yet sprung up. For Adonai, God, had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no one to cultivate the ground. Rather, a mist went up from the earth, which watered the entire surface of the ground. Then Adonai, God, formed a person from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that he became a living being. Adonai, God, planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he put the person whom he had formed. Out of the ground, Adonai, God, caused to grow every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adonai, God, took the person and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. Adonai, God, gave the person this order: you may freely eat from every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are not to eat from it, because on the day that you eat from it, it will become certain that you will die. Adonai, God, said, it isn't good that the person should be alone. I will make for him a fitting companion. So from the ground, Adonai, God, formed every wild animal and every bird that flies in the air. And he brought them to the person to see what he would call them. Whatever the person would call each living creature, that was to be its name. So the person gave names to all the livestock, to the birds in the air, and to every wild animal. But for Adam, there was not found a fitting companion. Then God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the person. And while he was sleeping, he took one of his ribs, closed up the place from which he took it with flesh. The rib which Adonai, God, had taken from the person, he made a woman person, and he brought her to the man person. The man person said, at last, this is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. She is called woman because she was taken out of man. This is why a man is to leave his father and mother and stick with his wife, and they are to be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and the woman, and they were not ashamed.
Thanks, Mark. If the children who are here this morning would like to come forward for a time. Is there anybody who wasn't here last week who didn't get a blessed, I'm back, I'm blessed button? You didn't get one? You got one? You did? Did you get one? There you go. There you go. One for you. You don't want one? Did you get one? No? Here, one for you. Who else didn't get one? Everybody else got one? Did you want one? There you go. I bet you Will didn't get one. He wasn't here yet last week. There you go. Backed and blessed. All right. Well, we have a few more left for those who mightn't have gotten them yet. Well, this morning, the Bible passage is about God creating. And what's the most favorite thing you have to make things out of? What do you love to make things out of? You like to swing, yeah? So, but if you were going to make something, create something, what would you use? Would you use paper and pencil? Some glue, some paper and glue, make some things together, yeah? What else could you use? Scissors and tape would put things together pretty good, yeah? You could make things out of wood, yeah? Cardboard, yeah? What else? Clay is a good one for making things, yeah? Have you been to the beach? sand. You can make things out of sand. So I brought some sand with me today. This is really funky sand. It's kind of sticky. It's not normal sand. And I got thinking, what would it have been like to have watched God, maybe one of the angels or some other heavenly creature was there with God? It's kinetic sand, it is, yeah. I've never played with it before. This is my first time. And so there's God going, I think I'm going to make something. So maybe God took some of the sand and maybe God rolled it into a ball like that and said, that's a pretty good shape. I wonder what else I can do with that. And so maybe God put that aside and maybe God made like a long kind of thing like that. And maybe the two of them will stick together. Maybe not. Maybe it needs to be laying down. There we go. Like I said, this is my first time. So there we go. So we got a ball there, and God makes like a thing like that. That looks like nothing. It needs more, right? Okay, so let's say if I do this, maybe God did this. Here we go. There we go. And, maybe something else like that. There like that. And maybe, let's keep going with that. God says, that looks really good. That's working for me here. There we go. And something else like that. There. Uh-huh. A pinwheel?
Yeah.
It could be a pinwheel, sure. A sun? Yeah. Well, maybe if we put some more things like that in there. Yeah. What do you think it's turning into? It could be a lion playing with a stick, yeah? Yeah. There we go. An octopus? Might be an octopus. It's ink, yeah, yeah. And if I put something like that there, this is why I never did well in art class. It's a flower. There we go. Ta-da. And God made a flower. Well, it's, right? Yeah. So I'm pretending. So God said, okay, and then maybe God put the flower in the garden. And then God said, okay, we need to go back to the drawing board here. And God took some more mud, Genesis says, and did that. And let's see here now. It is really weird sand, but it's really cool. No? Oh, wow. Yeah, it's... There we go. So maybe God was doing something like this. And there we go. An injured bird? Oh, wow. My art skills are not good at all. It looks like a person. Okay, let's try and keep the sand in here because we do not want Paul to be mad at me when he comes into the church to clean. So God makes a person. And in the Bible, the Hebrew word that God for the dirt that God uses is Adam. And the Hebrew word for the person is Adama. Sorry, I have it backwards. The name for the dirt is Adama, and the name for the person is Adam. Or as we pronounce it, Adam. So Adam was made out of mud, out of dirt. And so Adam's name means mud person. Mud person, yeah. We could put some hair on. We could let this dry and we could paint it all up. But see how fun how much fun it is for us to be playing in the dirt and moving all those things around? Can you imagine how much fun God must have been having at the very beginning of creation? Yeah. So when next time you're playing on the sand at the beach or in a sandbox, think about God doing all the creating that God did. And when we create things, we're kind of emulating God. We're trying to be like God in making new and wonderful things, right? Very good. So can we put the sand back? and you can play with it after church. I'll leave it up here, you guys. But you have to promise to keep it in the pan, okay? Because Paul will be really mad at me. And he'll hide my stuff. No, he won't. That's okay. Little bits are okay. So let's have a little prayer. And we'll say, thank you. We put our hands together and repeat after me. We'll say, thank you, God, for being creative. And helping us to be creative. Help us to create love in your world. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. And we are going to sing, I Can Feel You Near Me, God. God's always near us, right? So let's stand up and we'll sing, I Can Feel You Near Me, God. And a little bit of an action song. We get to jump with this one. Remember, this one is a jump for joy. All right, here we go. I'm going to come over here. There we go. Ready? We're all set. Sunday school programming upstairs for you this morning. It was good to have you. you, Susanna and Janet and choir. Charles. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. As we have gathered here this day, O God, we have come to join in worship. And as we do, we sing songs, we hear words read from our sacred texts. We meditate in our hearts and in our spirits. May the words that I am about to share find their source in you. You are our rock and our strength. In Christ we pray. Amen. So, as I was sharing with the children this morning, we're looking at the second chapter of Genesis. And out of that passage of the Hebrew Scriptures, I came up with the idea that we are of the earth. We're not merely from the earth, we're of the earth. That creation story which Margie read for us this morning. There are two creation accounts in Genesis. We tend to try and gloss over it and make it all one story, much the same way as we try and make the different Christmas stories into one continuous narrative. But there really are two stories. Genesis 1 was read a few Sundays ago. It's the familiar creation story. It's the story of the 7 days of creation. In this story, each of the elements of creation are brought into being. God speaks, and by God's word, they come into being. Darkness and light, sun and moon, heaven and earth, seas and land, fish, sea, birds of the air, creatures of the land. God creates them all. And each time God creates, at the end of that day, God says, "That's good. That's good." In this and that account, at the end, towards the end of the 6th day, God creates what some people think is the pinnacle of creation, human beings. God creates them male and female together, says Genesis 1. And as we move forward in the scriptures from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2, we come to an older Genesis story, an older creation account. And in this creation account, Hashem Elohim, the blessed name, takes mud, dirt, as I shared with the children, Adamah in Hebrew, and makes an Adam, a mud person. Not a mud man, but a mud person. There's no gender attached to it yet. And you can picture, as I tried to show the children with my limited arts and crafts skills, that inanimate mud person there, perhaps still in the mud. And the scripture says, God breathes the breath of life into the mud person. And God also takes that same dirt and creates every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, out of the Adama. The Lord God formed everything, animal of the field and bird of the air. And then a little later on in the story, because the Adamah is lonely, we presume, Elohim creates from the man person, now we have a gender, a man person, the Ish, a woman person, Isha. From Ish comes Isha, as a suitable companion for the Adama, for the Adam. In this reading of creation, there's a deep interconnectedness of all of creation. There's not a sense of, as we find in Genesis 1, a creation ex nihilo, out of nothing. but rather a creation from creation itself. The creatures and the plants all come from the earth, from the Adama. Now, there's an interpretation that because Eve, she gets her name later, and Adam will eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that comes up in chapter 3, that sin comes into the world because of that. And I've wondered for a long time, what if sin didn't come into the world at that moment in time? What if it was always there? What if it was always there, sort of lurking in the background, there in its potentiality? What if, as the verse will say, Adam and Eve's eyes were opened when the mud people ate the fruit, and they were able to see that which is possible. They were able to see that which is possible for good and evil. After all, that's what the fruit does, right? It demonstrates good and evil. And once that happens, there's no going back. Once we know the difference between one thing and another, we can't unlearn that, can we? See, I think that's wrong too. I think we can unlearn things. I think we can unlearn ideas, understandings, and worldviews. Why do I think that? Because I've done it. I have been unlearning homophobia for many, many years. I have been unlearning many of the prejudices I held as a person of privilege, a white, heterosexual, educated male in North America. I have been trying to unlearn sexism and racism and ableism and a host of other isms that are prevalent in our society. Am I perfect? No. Am I trying? Yeah, I'm trying. Will I ever be perfect? I doubt it. But that doesn't stop me in faith, of working towards being the mud person I was first created to be. You see, I don't believe in original sin tainting every human being's body and soul, and that we're doomed because of the actions of Adam and Eve. I believe that the experience of Adam and Eve has been learned time and time and time and time again by generations of human beings in the millennia that have passed since those stories were first told. But I also believe that those learnings can be overcome if we choose to do so, because we know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Why do we know that? Because Adam and Eve ate the fruit. We've been watching in our North American society, but around the world, an increasing boldness of white supremacist ideology and movement. We've been seeing a rise of anti-immigration sentiment, violence against people of color by law enforcement, a rising belief that somehow because our ancestors came here first, no one else has a right to be here. Even indigenous peoples should be pushed aside because we were here first. Indigenous peoples who were lied to in order to gain what we have now. those were not present in the world because of the piece of fruit. They are present because we as human beings choose to propagate those sinful beliefs. We, if you choose to believe in the fruit, are not evil by nature, but rather we know the difference between good and evil. The call of the gospel of Christ is for us to remind each other that God in Jesus sent a message to the world, to all of humanity. A message that reminds us of God's presence in the world as it was in the days of creation. God's presence is all around us. And Jesus' call was to return to the ways of God's hope for creation. Now, this wasn't a new message from Jesus. Prophets had been calling the people back to God for generations, but Jesus' call to his people was to choose God and to choose God's way. Jesus was indeed God's messenger, God's Messiah, whichever term you choose to embrace. And Jesus' message was so powerful that it moved beyond his own people. His followers found strength and hope and peace and love and joy, and outside themselves decided that they would take that message of hope to all of the ends of the earth. And we are here today because of that message of hope. We are here today because God has called us to be here. We are here today to share that message. The message is that we are all a part of creation, not apart from it. Each one of us can trace our ancestry back to the mud. We are made from the same stuff as all of Earth's people. Of all of Earth's creatures. Scientifically, we know this to be true today. We're all carbon-based life forms. We're all from the Earth. We are all of the Earth. If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, then we must not allow the myth of our differences to be our defining beliefs. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, then the word of hope is that God's love in creation, in every act of creation, is our story. And we are called to tell that story, to share that story. That is our story. That is our message. That is our faith. May it be so. Amen. Charles. Are there announcements that need to be shared this morning? Janet and Lee.
Good morning. You will see in your bulletin, if lovely piece of paper with some lines on the back. This is the auction form. We're having the auction on Sunday, October 27th, beginning at 5:30 with a potluck supper. And if you have anything you would like to donate, you can fill out the form, put it in the offering plate, or give it to me, then hold on to your item until a couple weeks before the auction, and then you can bring it in for me. If you do not have a use for the paper, please put it on the table in the narthex, and we'll use it next week. Thanks very much.
Lee? The new year for the junior youth group, that's grades 2 through 5, will start in 2 weeks from this Friday, October 11th, from 6:30 to 7:30. So all in that group from grades 2 to 5 are welcome to join us. Thanks.
Hi there. This is just the final reminder about Hope Cottage this Thursday, the meal. The sign-up sheet with the recipe is out in the narthex. I believe Paul would like to have the drop-offs by Wednesday at noon, I believe. It's on the sheet. I forgot to check on the way in. Anyway, thanks very much in advance.
I've got one. Gord Rose asked me to pass along. Any of the men that are coming this Tuesday to church in the pub at his house, to bring your sweater with you, because if it's fine, we're going to sit outdoors around the fire and have our conversations out there.
So any of the gentlemen who haven't joined us yet for church in the pub, please do come out. The address is there, and follow it around. If you need directions, give me a shout at the church office. We are beginning our Monday evening unplugged services. It's once a month, and so tomorrow evening at 7:30, the Reverend Ivan Gregan is our guest leader for that night, and he is going to be talking about the Celtic Christianity experience. So if you are interested, it's a less boisterous kind of worship time as far as my recollection is, and so it's a more quiet, unplugged kind of way. So come and unplug yourself early on in the week. And then finally, the youth group will be going and doing their annual apple picking, and apple sales start today following service out in the hall. So if you'd like to buy some apples or order some apples from the youth group, do please do that. Widow's Lunch Tuesday here in the hall, so please come and join us. It's potluck. And I know it's coming up, but I'd like you to mark it on your calendars, is the Meet the Alisadi family. They're Cole Harbour Cares is inviting everyone to come to the church here, the hall, on the 20th of October from 2 to 4 to have a chance to have refreshments and have some conversation and to meet the Alisadi family, who are the most recent refugee family we have been able to help come to Canada. So that was wonderful to meet the Kalani family the day that they came, and so I'm sure it will be equally wonderful to do that. Those are the announcements for today. Our moment for mission and service, Cindy and Susanna.
Kids Zone, our gifts for mission and service support programs for children and families living in community housing areas like Ard Glen in Brampton, Ontario. The Journey Neighborhood Center looks like every other store in the strip mall where it is located. Once you enter, you encounter a different world, one filled with art, laughing children, enthusiastic volunteers, and interns from the social work program at Ryerson University. One of these interns is Maria, who came to Toronto as a teen from Colombia to live with her father.
At first, I didn't like it here, says Maria, sitting at the table preparing snacks for the children who would be arriving from school to participate in the Kids Zone program. Over time, I have come to really love this country, and I wanted to do something to make a difference in the world. That's why I chose social work. Maria and other interns speak passionately about the center and the children who come through the door. They are just wonderful, Maria exclaims. Your gifts offer children and families in community housing a place to come to share in food and fun. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you very much. If you have not given, please join us in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of mission and service.
In that spirit, then, our gifts and offerings will now be received. Sam? Let us pray together. Divine love, in this part of our world, we are gifted with much. Having much, we know we are called to give for others, give in body, in spirit, and in treasure. With these limited funds in our plates and through par, limitless things are done. May we ever strive beyond our limitations. Choose beyond our immediate needs and live into each day the fullness of opportunity for others as well as ourselves. As ones born of light and walking into light, we pray, may it be so. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. As we gather, let us gather our hearts, our minds, and our spirits together in prayer. As we have gathered here this morning, O Creating One, we find ourselves drawn into the story of our community of faith, the story of the peoples who gathered here in times gone by, the story of those who have shared faith for generations, for those who have taken our stories of faith and committed them to paper, and have gathered them into a place that we might refer and read and learn and grow. We are part of a great chain of humanity. Link upon link, societies grow, and we learn and unlearn and learn anew. Each step along our individual link along the chain, we seek to grow, to reach out beyond ourselves, to find ways to love and to be loved, to offer a hand, a heart, or a tear. Your people have been doing these things for generations. And in this time and place, as part of the people gathered here today, we are a part of that long history. It is our place in history to hear the stories of our faith, to find ways in which they fit into our lives, and then to share the learning, the joy, the hope with those with whom we gather. In our worship, we do these things. In our gatherings, we do these things. And in our individual lives, we do. We are a product so much of our society around us. And yet we cannot simply ignore our responsibility to learn, to grow, and to change. As we see tides of hate rising and falling in our history, perhaps we feel as though we are in the midst of one of those right now. And we ask that you, O God, would guide us, that we might remember the stories that our ancient forebears told of hope born out of the mud, of an understanding of the world that sees the good and the evil and yet calls us to work for the good, to walk beside one another, to care for one another, and to be hope for one another. This is our call, O God. We hear this call and we seek to respond in our day and in our age. And we respond by reaching out into the wider world to do what we can to bring hope. Sometimes that means sharing a word of prayer. Sometimes that means going to a place and serving. Sometimes that means sending a bit of funds in order to offer relief. We do what we can and we are called to do. Sometimes it means reaching out across a table and sharing a cup of tea or coffee, cold drink, holding the hand of a loved one, a friend, or even a stranger. It means being connected as part of this wonderful planet, working for sustainability in the face of climate change, working for peace in the face of violence, working for common humanity in the face of the many isms that we have named. Let no one thing we have tried and participate in be discounted. For each sea is filled with individual drops of water. In this place, we offer care and comfort of Christ, O God. We pray for one another. We weep with one another. We joy with one another. In this day and in this time, we hold those whose names are printed in our bulletins each week. In our prayers, we don't know all of the situations in which these friends and loved ones find themselves. But they have asked for us to pray for them. And so in faith, we do. And we pray for Carolyn and Chris and Gary and Beth and Hannah and Nancy and David and Faith and Dorothy, and Simon, and Sean, and Richard, and Eric, and Hunter, and Barbara, and Gary, and Joy, and Marie, and Donna, Heather, Wayne, Suzanne, Della, Reg, Lloyd, Neil, Millie, and Matilda, those whose names are known to us, and those whose names and lives are known to you, O God. We ask your presence in us and in our lives, that as people of faith, when we have concluded this time of worship, we might go into your world to serve as Jesus served, to love as Jesus loved, and to hope as Jesus hoped. This is our prayer, which we share this day using his words, as we know in our hearts and in our spirits, or as written on our page. Together we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now. Our closing hymn this morning, number 27 in Voices, More Voices. Creator God, you gave us life. We are called into this place to hear and experience God's Spirit moving. And we hope and we pray that you have done just that. And as we go from this place, we are called to carry that Spirit with us out into the world, to be hope where there is no hope, to be joy where there is no joy, to be love where there is no love. For God is in all of those places. Let us go and be with God and God's people. Amen. Couple more Sundays, I promise. World Communion Sunday, I'm changing it. I'm just having so much fun with it.